Welcome to the Streams Church podcast. Here at Streams, we say that we want to know God and to make Him known. Stay connected to us by subscribing. We cannot wait to see what God does in your life. This week, we are continuing our series, The Week That Changed the World, where we look at the life of Jesus leading up to His death, burial, and resurrection. This week, we are on Thursday. I hope you enjoy this week's content by Pastor Lloyd.
Morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you choose to watch this video. My name is Lloyd Baker, and I'm the lead pastor of Streams Church here in the West Valley of Arizona. This is a pre-recorded worship service for March 22nd, 2020. 4 months ago, I had a pastor friend of mine ask me, "Do you guys have live streaming at your church?" And I said, "Yeah, if you're alive and you show up, we have Streams Church is live streaming at that point. That's about the only thing we have." To which I know many of you are laughing, and so I'm going to let you do that. And I'm going to try to give this message just as if I did on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to give dramatic pauses that will allow you to say, "Amen, oh my word, that was a great point," laughter, whatever that is. So it's just, it has that same feel as it does on Sunday morning. So it's okay to laugh, it's okay to respond. I will try to make dramatic pauses long enough that will give you that opportunity. There are two reasons that we don't live stream presently. The first one, which is most important, is the fact that our internet at our church is really slow. We're actually on a county island. We don't belong to a city. And because there's commercial land all around us, the county has never spent the money to bring in the cabling for faster speed on the internet. So we use hotspots, stuff like this. Exciting news is, because of all the new houses going around, they are bringing in a faster cable service. It's actually being run to the church right now and to our new children's building. So in the future, we'll be able to do things a lot faster, which gets me to more exciting news. And that is Jeremiah Smith and Brittany Malik and the entire team, including Laura Perez, who is our executive assistant, they are transferring our information, our database that we have over to a newer, more contemporary database, which will allow us to have an app. We'll have a Streams Church app. And from that app, you can check in your children before you even get to church. And they show up and have the little name tag you have. It'll be ready for you. You can see sermon notes. Sometimes we'll have that on there. Questions to ponder after the words. You can give right from the app. Every time you show up, you can check in, which helps us much better care for our community. And the second concern that I have when it comes to live streaming is that people use it as an excuse not to be in fellowship. And I think we can all agree right now, we were never meant to live in isolation or in quarantine. The reason God created us, even though knowing all the bad things that we might do, He created us because He desired relationship with His creation. In fact, when He made Adam, the scripture says He looked down and saw Adam, and His conclusion with Adam is this man, and I'm just going to put any man, was never meant to live alone. So He created Eve. He created all of creation and the animals and other people so that we would be in fellowship with one another. And that's what we are meant to do. And I can't wait till we get done here so that I can be with you together again. We're going to be postponing our services till the end of March and any other function at church. Perhaps you have heard that women's retreat had to be canceled. When we get back, if we miss Easter for some reason, I want you to know that the first service back at Streams Church, when we can all come together, that first service back, we will do Easter in all its glory. Easter egg hunts, the great worship songs, you're going to love it. And I'm pretty sure that will also be the opening, the grand opening of our new children's ministry worship center and daycare. Dramatic pause. Amen. Clap loudly. Now, I can't wait to see you when we get together again. Again, Judy, I miss you guys so much. We love our family. So just an FYI, I'm actually preaching this message in sections, so it's a lot easier to upload the video. We're in the middle of a sermon series called The Week That Changed the World. We're going through the Passion Week, starting with Palm Sunday, and then each sermon is a day of that week. And we have a theme scripture, and it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 in the New Living Translation. And hopefully we have the words on the screen, and if we do, would you join me? We've been reading this together. Join me in reading 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. Here we go. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God, because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is alive and it's true and it's powerful. We pray right now that it will bring us comfort in the midst of chaos, realizing that you have a plan for us. And so we pray, Father, that you would bring your will to this earth. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And may we be the people through whom it comes, of grace and mercy and truth to our friends and neighbors. We pray for that peace now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're asking the question, if you had 1 week to live, what would you do? And who would you visit? What would be your final words? And to whom would you speak them? What efforts would you take to ensure that your family would be taken care of? How much money would you spend for a chance to stay alive? So please don't make the mistake in thinking that Jesus didn't know he was going to die. Jesus knew he was going to die. His heart was set in stone. His eye was on you. He could have had anything or done anything he wanted, but he had passion. The word passion literally means to suffer. He had passion and then he suffered passion. His resolve was solid, unmoving, unwavering. And in his passion to love you, he went through the week that changed the world. On Sunday, he went into the gates of Jerusalem. And we said that day was Palm Sunday. Shouts of acclamation, Hosanna in the highest, which means, the definition means, save us now, be our Savior. And here's the problem. The people didn't understand how Jesus was going to save them. They thought he would save them from the evil empire of Rome. He came to save them from their sins and to offer them forgiveness. And so in their shouting, Jesus knew how they misunderstood. And the scripture says he looked over Jerusalem and he wept. And he wept loudly. He was grieving. But the people didn't understand that there was coming harm to the city of Jerusalem, that they never embraced the Father like the parental figure that he was for them. That night, we know, Sunday night, he walked into the temple, and the scripture says he looked around and he took an inventory of what was going on. Then he went off to a different place with his disciples to spend the night. So the next day was Monday, and Monday, his resolve was strong. He wanted to get back to the temple because I could tell you all night he was thinking about it. He was praying about it. So he's on his way to the temple, and he probably forgot to eat breakfast, and the disciples thought, when are we going to stop and eat? And Jesus sees his fig tree. And he goes over to the fig tree, and it's full of leaves, which means it should have been full of fruit. But when he gets there, there's no fruit. And so he curses the fig tree. And it represented the religious system of the day that looked good and should have been full of fruit for the people to come and know about God and understand God, but there was no fruit. And so Jesus walks into the temple, and it says he begins to turn over the tables, and he begins to drive people out. It was the second time in the scriptures that he had done that. And Jesus did what every good father would do. He destroyed the very thing that was deceiving and taking advantage of his children. Then on Tuesday, Pastor Mitch spoke to us about, and Jesus saw the religious system that looked great, but it had no fruit. But it was full of elders, which was the ruling class and the priests. And then the Herodians, which was the political class. And the Sadducees, which was the religious liberal class. And then, of course, the Pharisees, which was the religious right-wing class. Religious people are notorious for building walls instead of building bridges. And that's exactly what they did. They were keeping the people from God by their rules and their regulations and their politics. And Jesus came to build bridges. And so Matthew 22, verses 2 through 3, he says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent his servants to invite other people, and nobody came. And so he said he sent his servants out again to bring in the poor and the undesirable. And they all came and had a banquet." The parable was to teach that the religious people of that day were not coming to the wedding feast of the Father through the Son. And so therefore, he sent the Son to save me and you and the people that were considered undesirable. And that means we're invited in. And what would it be like if we created bridges to the Father and not barriers by religion? On Wednesday, Paul spoke to us. It was a day that Judas agreed to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And we asked ourselves what happened. 3.5 years of seeing miracles and 3.5 years of seeing people get healed. And all of a sudden, Judas betrays Jesus. And we said it was because there was an offense that happened. Earlier when they were with Lazarus, and Jesus, there was a story that came that Martha came forward and began to pour expensive perfume and oil on the feet of Jesus. And Judas was upset. He was upset that they didn't sell that to make a profit. And then Jesus reveals the very problem with his heart, that he was in for this for greed. And because he took offense to that, he took offense and he didn't deal with his offense, right? He betrays Jesus. And I've seen this in the kingdom so many times, that people get offended for whatever reason. They don't deal with that offense. They don't try to be humble and come and try to get forgiveness to happen. And all of a sudden, people who are working together, who've seen God do amazing things, are now not in fellowship for whatever reason. And it's because offenses get taken. And so that was Wednesday, which leads us to Thursday. Today's topic is Thursday of the Passion Week. It was a day of miraculous manifestation. The story is told in Luke chapter 22. Jesus goes and tells a couple of his disciples, "Hey, go into the city. You're going to find a man. He's carrying a jar of water on him. And tell him the master has the need of a guest room. And somehow this guy's going to take you and give you a room. I've tried that in Marriott. It doesn't work for me." It was a night of eternal truth. We see that Jesus institutes communion, starting with verse 14 of chapter 22. "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table," and this is at the room that the man had given them. "And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Jesus was establishing an eternal truth that this is the new way that God was going to relate to his people through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. And this is why it's a sacrament for us that we do when we get together. At Streams Church, we do it once a month. We have communion to remember what the Lord has done for us. God's grace was poured out. And we need to never forget that. It was also a night of passionate prayer. We see later on that Jesus was praying so hard that he had blood coming forth as sweat. It was that intense of a prayer. But most of all, and this is the theme of today, most of all, It was a night of tremendous temptation. That's right, temptation. It seems to be an unbelievable paradox. Communion is being served. Miracles are happening. Deep spiritual truths were being taught. Humility was being displayed. Passionate prayer was being offered. And temptation in the midst of that was very intense. Let's go back and read about some of the temptations. We find in verse 21 through 32. This is during communion. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it had been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays me. They, the disciples, began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. That's an interesting conversation. A dispute then, of course, who's going to be the traitor? A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Of course, who's the worst? I'm the best. That's what's going on the night, that Thursday night. So Jesus said it to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in many trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table, my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, basically from failing, strengthen your brothers. This is all over the place. Communion, temptations. Somebody's going to betray Jesus. You're going to have inherit the kingdom. You're going to rule in Israel. And by the way, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Going on in verse 39. Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him in the midst of his temptation. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. They're wiped out emotionally. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Interesting night. This was all about temptation. Jesus was tempted not to go through it with his death. Jesus, the man, felt every sin of the entire world upon him. He felt every pain at one moment. At one time, the pain was so real, he was tempted to find another way. But he prayed to the Father instead, not my will, but yours be done. Peter would be tempted to fight, to flee, and to forget. By fighting, he cut off the soldier's ear, and Jesus healed that man. He fled and he ran from the group when Jesus was taken away, and he forgot when he denied Jesus three times. He was tempted. And the most of the miraculous manifestations and eternal truth in a passionate prayer, temptation was tremendous. Jesus faced it. Judas faced it. Peter faced it. And Jesus told them, in the midst of all these amazing things, you need to pray, and you need to pray that you don't fall into temptation because it's coming. So when you think your marriage is all that, it's all hot, when you think that you're finally communicating with your spouse the right way, it can't get any better, be careful and pray that you don't fall. When your family is strong and when fathers are leading the spiritually, leading their families spiritually, and they're leading their homes, and they're praying for their wives, and they're praying for their children, they're taking the responsibility of the family will be in church serving the living God. Mothers are respected and have divine influence when their children. When all that happens, be careful and pray that you don't fall. So when you make a decision, maybe at last year at men's retreat, you did that. You know, I'm going to step it up spiritually. You decide that your faith is going to become more than just words. Your actions are going to follow up in line with the teachings found in the scriptures. You finally actually make a bold decision to be a giver, to be a tither, becoming a blessing to other people. You decide to make a difference into the lives of those that are around you. Be careful and pray that you don't fall. Because in these moments when things are going really well, revelation is happening and prayers are passionate, Satan wants to derail you because of some unresolved issue in your life. Imagine if he could get you to quit on your marriage because it was too difficult. Imagine if he could get you to deny your love for God because of whatever reason, because of insecurities. Why in the most of an incredible night was there tremendous temptation? And here's why. Because when miracles are manifesting in your life, when you're getting it right, and eternal truth is becoming practical applications in your life, in your marriage, in your family, when your prayers become more than just cute nursery rhymes, and they're full of passion for a living God, when those things happen, beware, because Satan wants to sift you. And you're becoming a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And he wants to derail you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to drag you down. You know, right now, we are in the time of great temptation. I mean, everything seemed to be going really well in our economy. The stock market was soaring, the highest it's ever been. Everything's getting really different. One little thing, one little virus is turning this world around. So there's temptations there. Temptations for the believers to live in fear. Temptations for us to hoard necessities and not to be people who share. Temptation to hold back financially out of fear of the future, that the economy might come crashing even more. And even though we're physically disconnected, will we make the social and spiritual connections a priority? Or we will withdraw? I have heard a couple of our groups that have figured out how to use FaceTime and other mechanisms to connect together, to corporately call, to have where everybody's on the screen together and they're praying together and they're talking about scripture together, and they're encouraging one another. So when things are going well, that's when the enemy comes to try to derail us with temptations. I pray that we won't give in. I want to tell you right now, prayer is more important than anything else right now. In the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this uncertainty, we need to pray. We need to pray for this world. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for one another. We need to think about one another and pray. Lord, don't let them fall away. Don't let them be afraid. Don't let them live in fear. We need to take care of one another. We need to care. This is the moment that we need to mobilize and not withdraw, not run like Peter, not be afraid to tell others what we believe. We need to be people on task, on point. Because in the midst of us shining, that's when the attack comes. I can only imagine, I really have a faith and I believe this, that revival is coming and people are going to be They understand what loneliness is right now, that they're going to be looking for true community, a place where they can have real friends and real faith. I believe a revival will happen in this moment when people are opening their hearts and their minds to Jesus. I hope they come flooding to the church. And when that happens, we need to beware. We need to beware, because when those moments happen, when God starts to turn the tables, people come to faith. That's when the enemy will make you and will make me a target, will make Streams Church a target. And the way to overcome that is to pray so that we stay focused. Pray that we understand the Father's heart. Pray so that our eyes will be open to how the enemy attacks. We need to pray. And we need to be together. That's what this scripture is talking about. In this amazing Thursday, when communion is instituted, and Jesus is teaching them, and he's washing their feet, and he's telling them truths. And John, he talks about all kinds of things. He speaks to them. When those things happen, right, we need to be careful. Because the enemy would like to rip us apart. But that's not going to happen. Because we're going to pray. And we're going to have faith. And revival is coming. I believe it. I'm excited for it. It's a great time to be a Christian in this world today. Because God's about to do great things. So if you had 1 week to live, what would you do? I think one of the things you would do is to make sure you understood. Your children understood how to live life. Your children understood. Your grandchildren understood that prayer is an important part. That living holy, living righteously, not be taken down in temptation, not to have your life destroyed by temptation. I think you'd want to make sure your children knew how to overcome temptation. That's what you would do. And that's what Jesus did. I want to pray for you today. So, Father, I thank you that you love us so much, that you prepare us for times that might be difficult, times like right now. And my prayer is that we will have a strong faith, that we will have a resolute faith, that we will not give in to the fear of this land, that we'll be people of peace in the midst of chaos. We are your servants. Help us, teach us, give us courage to what to say and to do in the midst of this moment, so that your name will be famous in all the land. And that's my prayer, and I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for spending today with us, this moment and the services. We love you. Don't forget to go to streamschurch.org. We're going to have daily videos. We have missionaries that are sending videos to give you updates about their area of the world. We have children's lessons. You can go to all our pages. We have social pages for children, for youth on Instagram. We have a youth page. We have it for the church. We have a Facebook page for the children where there's actually biblical lessons, video lessons you can watch with your children. Even though we're physically disconnected, we're going to choose to be spiritually and socially connected with the areas and the things that God has given us on the internet so we can stay together. God bless you. Judy and I love you so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this week's content. If you liked the message, we would love for you to give us a rating for Apple Podcasts. Also, if you want to stay connected with us, we'd love for you to connect through various social media, including Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Also remember that we are to know God and to make Him known. Have a great week.